Good evening. I'm smiling because I was told that maybe the proper song before I get up would be In the Hour of Trial. And that there should be no reprisals over that. On the other hand, I find that to be funny. So, that's good. This evening is a lesson that basically I'm pretty sure that most of us have heard somewhere, sometime, the idea of I thought. But I want you to see this one a little bit differently. There are, as we've been discussing in the adult morning class, we've been talking about evangelism and talking to people. And the issue is about my own thinking. When I have or set my thinking above what God says, we always have a problem. And so in this particular lesson, I just want to go over some of the things, and this is a very straightforward scriptural lesson where Scripture says, don't do that. And I'm not using it for the standpoint of the idea that you would take this and use it on someone. In other words, beat them up with it. But instead, have at your disposal and fingertips some of the scriptures that would allow you to deal with the idea of I thought. Or that my thinking or the thinking of where I come from is all those things. And so our scripture reading is from 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 8. It says, now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling in Michmash, therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. I love the wording on that. I really do. And so we have many men, you know, that they have their thoughts when approaching God of what should be or what could be and what must be if it's what may be. So some men believe that they may do what they wish and still be pleasing unto God. Some do some of what God says and say that they are doing, Some do some of what God says and do what they wish on others. In other words, sometimes I'll do what God says do and sometimes I won't. Did I just lose? Okay. Some men simply do what God says. And so there we have the choices. And by the way, while I'm making that point, I want to make a point. There is an issue within us, with not us meaning just the congregation, but any time a man gets up front, that we have ideas of what it means or what it should sound like. And what I mean by that is there are times when some men, and we do this, would use an ecumenical voice and change their voice entirely and speak as of the oracles of God. And they speak like that because they think that I am speaking in a more reverent way. There are some who speak more forcefully. The Lord has said, and they would speak more forcefully. There are some who would speak more words. They elaborate on everything, and they do that all in the mindset of that I am being more reverent. And I want to just question that in our own minds. That is my thinking going on. Is it more reverent to change my voice? Is it more reverent to be forceful and to be louder? Is it more reverent in for all the things that we do? And consider that. And when I say that, we have to get over stage fright, because when I was first beginning with all this, I could talk so fast you couldn't hear it. It sounded like an auctioneer up here because I was nervous. Renee Steele says that I show some signs of that every now and then. I can just get to talking real fast, you know. But But the point of this is there are men who think that what I'm offering is what the way it should be, and we understand. In our dealings with others, then we have the need to have scriptures that will allow us to make a point that we want to make. So understanding that our opinion is not the basis for truth is very important to know. In other words, that the emphasis of where I would place emphasis is not necessarily the same in every sentence. And that depending on what people do, they come with different conclusions sometimes. Each of us sometimes has revered our own thinking above someone else's. That God has spoken extensively as to what the return on that will be. And we will look at that in just a minute. Okay? And that when we speak to others, we need to speak as those that know it is wrong. And that I have been guilty of emphasizing maybe when I shouldn't. Okay, or not emphasizing when I should. And so if I do that and I become a person in the discussions that we're going to be involved with, you see, we see ourselves being reflected and people listen. So we need them to be encouraged, don't do that. If I have done that, if I act that way, if I've done misrepresented something, don't do that. Correct me. And so we want to look at some of those passages to see. So we look at Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, passage that we know very, very well, that now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Now then, the key is to make this real. So what would possess someone to think that I can offer incense because I am of the tribe of Levi and that I have every right to offer incense, and yet that I could change what I'm going to do and take fire from the place other than the altar and think that that is just as good a worship as it is if I take it from the altar as the Lord said. Now, what would make someone think that that's the same thing? Obviously, the Lord doesn't. For me, I make that kind of statement and say, you know, this is why I don't go beyond the Scripture. I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I speak beyond what God has said, what that means. And so consequently, there's going to be consequences if we don't watch. And so speak and say what God said. Don't say more and don't say less. In 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. I thought. Well, your thinking was wrong. God doesn't have to do that. Neither does the prophet of God have to do that. It was not a matter of fanfare. It was a matter of obedience. And so consequently, we can see. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, beginning in verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and the making it bear and sprout, the furnishing seed to the sower and the bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now there's two lessons in this one. One is, if I've had it wrong, if I make a mistake and misunderstand the Lord, if I need correction and I feel I something is wrong and I go to the scriptures for myself and I begin to study them, they will instruct me. If I go to prove what I already believe, that's a different deal. But if I go looking for what the Lord would have me do, they will instruct me and they will give me what I need, what the Lord would have me know, and it will be as the rain is to a crop. It also has the lesson that it is not how well I present. Please, I want us to understand this. I don't need to be the best of the best in presentation. I think I need to give my best. But I don't have to be the best of the best in presentation when speaking God's Word, because God's Word will do what it is meant to do. And so if we trust in what we're teaching, you see, we have something that is very, very real. And I believe it is what we were talking about this morning in calling in. Well, why do you do what you do? Okay, and what is it? How is it the Spirit guides you? And I am guided by what it says. And so how is it that you are guided in another way? Because the Word of God is what changes men's hearts. In Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. And yet, how many would do that? How many would think that my thinking is as good as God's thinking? Proverbs 3:5-8, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And as we consider that and we understand that when man thinks for himself, he fails God. Now, we don't generally say it that plainly, but I want us to see that. When I begin to think for God, I fail God. If God is who He is and that we should trust Him, then we would follow His instructions. Thus, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? If I am truly the Lord, if I have all authority in heaven and earth, if I have the power that the Father has given me, then why would you not listen to me? It's a very good question. It is wise for this life because it will cause you to inherit eternal life. But it is also good for the next life, for eternity's sake, that I will live a better life here based on what God says do, and I will live the next life as well with God. So, maintaining what God says as superior to what I think is the right thing to do. There are many times people say that we can't understand God's Word. And so Ephesians 5:17-18 says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There was a man named Ricky Shanks that used to preach in Albuquerque. Renee, is that right? That's not. Wasn't Shanks. Rick Seamus. I'm sorry. All right. And Rick Seamus, when we first went out there, came back to do a gospel meeting for us. And he made a point over and over again. He was discussing things that people think and things that have happened in the Christian world. And what he says, could you just read it first? Because if you would read what God said, you wouldn't say what you just said. Could you just read it first? And I think that's exactly what goes on. That it's not a matter of that we can't understand. It is that we don't know the scriptures to begin with, or that we don't understand the application of that scripture. And so why would this passage even be in the Bible if you could have free thinking to do whatever you want to do? We understand what we read, Ephesians 3:3-4, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, and by referring to this, that you can read, that when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. That I can have the knowledge of Paul himself, if I will read what's been written. Now, would you like to have that kind of knowledge? Would you like to know? And that's a point. The issue really is that understanding comes from study and thought. And so often, I want someone else to do that for me and let me consider what you think. And then I think that that doesn't carry weight, that I will judge correctly with my non-understanding. I will judge correctly the understanding of someone else speaking. And yet we can look at some of the great mistakes that have been made where people have believed something that God never said because those that were listening did not know the scriptures well enough themselves to know that they'd heard something that is wrong. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16, be diligent then to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And that is why we study. Now, as a subject, when we go to apply this, then I used baptism as the subject. But I want you to think that it's not about just baptism. It can be any subject that we would like to put in here that we could align scriptures that talk about it. And there's enough of these here that kind of offer a thought line of what did God say? And if I can do that in a certain way, my argument is already made. And so let's kind of go through this as an example, but it could be any subject. Where it goes that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Okay. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Then Peter said to him, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in the newness of life. But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, just for your information, in the days where all this mattered and I didn't know, I had been in a congregation that said something that I didn't understand nor did I believe. I was violated. And it was over the Holy Spirit, as a matter of fact, and how does he work? And that some people had had this experience and that they were now saved. And I had not had that experience. And I didn't understand why, because I believe in God. Why? If I believe in Jesus and God's not partial, then why has God not given me my experience so that I might be saved? And I just asked that as a question. And the answer that I got was not a good answer. Okay, and it caused in me a restlessness that I can't even explain. And eventually, I began to ask other questions that I got no answer to. And so I came to this point so that when I did come back to the scriptures again the next time, I won't take your word for nothing. That was really my attitude. I'm going to go see what it has to say. And when I found out what a concordance will do, I ran baptism, baptized every word, and read every passage that it has to say. And when I was through, there was no thought in my mind that you don't have to be baptized. Now that took some work. And that's what really the issue is with most people. They don't want to do the work. But do you understand what that did for me? And now that I know that I must be baptized and that is how I become a Christian, when I understood that, I understood a great deal. And then the other point is, what else do I not know? And I hope that this happened with every one of you. What else do I not know? Because if you say it because your parents said so, you do not have the faith God intended you to have. If you say it because you exalt a particular person that just is so smooth, it's unbelievable, you don't have the faith that God intended you to have. The faith He intended you to have is based on your knowledge of what did God say. You see? And I can't be taken advantage of. So if you haven't gotten one of the lessons, you should get one, because I have a number of points that are made here. That man can understand His Word, that baptism is essential to salvation, there is only one church, the kingdom is here, observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week, seeing it in our worship services that the earth was created in six literal days, and that Jesus was God while He was on the earth. And every one of these is a point of argument in the Christian world. Someone has said, that's not so. Really? Well, then why don't we read and see if that is so? So as we look at those passages and you begin to consider them and what they say, I want us to see that they carry the weight, not me. It is not my argumentation. It is, as I have said, all right, so rather than read those, I would rather give you an experience. When I moved to Jacksonville, I was invited home by a friend of mine and co-worker to eat with him. And he made the statement after supper, I believe that if a man will not do what God would have him do, that God will raise a woman up to do it. He says, what do you think? I said, I'm sorry, I don't believe that. He said, why not? And so I took him to 1 Timothy 2. It says that a woman is not to usurp authority over a man, and that God will not use a woman to do what a man is instructed to do. He got inflamed by that. And so he jumps up and runs into his bedroom. He comes back with a book this thick, and it's one of the volumes of Dr. So-and-so, and he read to me what Dr. So-and-so said about this particular, and that a woman would be raised up. And when he got through with his talking, took him about 15 minutes to say it all. I said, so can I ask a question? He said, yeah. I said, do you believe Dr. So-and-so or do you believe God? He said, this man has credentials as long as your arm. That has this and that and the other. And he gave, man, to tell me how smart the man was that has denied what God said. And I said, so that's what I told him. I said, look, I'm not God, and I'm not that theological genius, but I know this, that what God just said, I think, supersedes what Dr. So-and-so said. And so can you tell me why I wouldn't believe God and I would believe him? Well, he went to sputtering at that point. That is what we are doing, is it not? That we plead with people by the oracles of God to believe what God said and don't believe because it's me. It was never to be about who is doing the talking. It has always been about God's doing the talking. And so that's why we follow Him. And so that's why we do what we do. And then I am warned in Acts 20, 28 and 29, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So that as I consider that, be on guard yourselves. Who do you think He's talking about? Do you think that He's talking about be on guard of the congregation, which He is, but that's really not who He's talking to. He's talking to the elders. That you be on guard for yourself, that what you say and that what you do is what God said, and that you don't get full of yourself. You see, that's what He's saying. And be on guard for the flock, that doesn't happen within the flock either. We are to be about what God has said. Okay, and the understanding of that, if I need to warn the leadership of that, do you think that we all need to hear it? Yes. Could you turn that in such a way as to get an individual who has not been following God to think about following God. Do you see what I'm saying? Can we take a passage that was written to someone else, not mentioning just the fact that it's a different time and all those things, that is the officials of the church that were responsible for their flocks and the things that go on? Can I say that if it is good for them to watch what they do and hold to the Word of God, do you think that has any meaning for you? So that when you get to thinking, I thought, let's not be speeding. And let's be sure that what we're doing is correct. So when it comes to that, do we do our own thinking or do we let God tell us about Himself? Is God truly God or is He a genie that I control? Because you see, that's what I see has happened. That in the United States, in Christianity, we have made God a genie. And that we rub the magic lamp of prayer and we ask Him for what we will and He gives me anything that I want. And that's who God is. He is a genie. But God is no genie. And we know He is no genie. No, He is the God of heaven, the creator of all things, of life itself. And so, that's the thing. If I recognize God as who He is, then I bow my knee before Him. I do not try to tell Him or manipulate Him into the things that I want. Ah. So, if God is God, then He deserves to be worshipped as He says, not as what I want to give. So then, what do you believe? You see? Do you want to be that kind of a Christian? You want to be the Christian that Jesus says, you know? Or do you want to be a Christian where there's a lot of flexibility? And that's kind of how we have to think. Do we understand that we have no input as to what we must do to become a Christian or to remain one? It is not about what we think. It is about what God said. There was a bumper sticker that all you old people know about. And so if you know this, you're in trouble already. God said it, I believe it, and that's the way it is. Y'all may remember that, you may not. But what the truth of it is that God said it, and that's the way it is. The what I think and what I believe about it has nothing to do with whether God is right or wrong. God is right. And it is. That's what we must always understand, even within our own selves. And so we don't have that input. So when we decide to become what God wants us to be, it must be according to what He has said. It is a simple premise. It is not a complicated thing, and it's not something that can be adjusted. If I want to be a Christian, I must follow what God has said. And so, are we going to listen to God's Word and hear it for its intent? Would I believe it? If it offers a need for change, would I change? And you see, every time we ask that question going that way to someone else, do you understand I have to ask that same question back to me? Am I still doing that? Am I still believing what God said, regardless of whether I need to make a change? And if I need to make a change, would I? And the truth is, yes. Would you change for just anyone, or do you believe that Jesus is more than a mortal? You see, if you do, then you'll be baptized for the remission of your sins. Would you live faithfully for the rest of your life based on that decision? And see, that's a decision we have to make over and over again. This is God's way, and so will you say, I thought, or will you do what He says? As a closing idea, I want you to think, I don't know when I sort of woke up to this, but I sort of had the idea when I became a Christian, I was baptized into Christ as Christ would have me. And I had my hoo-hoo moment of my sins are washed away. And then there was a a time when I understood I am never going to be the kind of good that I want to be. That sin is going to plague me always. And I became discouraged. And I almost left the faith because I can't be the kind of Christian I want to be. But I determined that what I would do is that it is better for me, for my family, for everything. A weak Christian is better than no Christian at all. And so I became a weak Christian in my mind. I'll be a weak Christian. And it will do me good for this life, and then whatever happens in the next life, God will judge. That's the way it started. Now, if you think like that, if you understand that and understand how I think, I came to every service because I have to. I can't not come. I slide too easy. I'm not. But a hair step away from falling. I need you. I need strength. I need the Lord's Word. All those things. And so I came, and somewhere in the next period of time, I understood. I make the decision every morning whether to remain a Christian or not. I make the decision every day. Another day, what will I be? Will I be what the Lord would have me be or not? And that became controllable. I'm not trying to decide for the rest of my life. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to decide for today. Will I be what the Lord would have me be? And what that means is that I will hold to what the Lord has said. And so there have been many arguments about many things, all sorts of things that way. And I know that you're aware of that and what people have done with the Word of God. But at the same time, who am I going to be? We choose. Want to teach the gospel? Teach them that today is the day of salvation. It's really not for alien sinners. It's for every one of us. If you have need of the prayers of the congregation, or we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?